let's go ahead and watch a couple short clips. One of them is going to be just David and Goliath, and then the other one's going to be the History Channel actually did a scientific kind of analysis of whether you could kill somebody with a sling, and it's pretty cool. So very skilled in with a sling. One of the things you think about, too, is like he said that a sling is like an extension of your arm. So how many of you guys play baseball? Softball, baseball? So Major League Baseball, how far is the mound to the plate? So like 60 feet, I think it is. And yet you have these guys that are pitching a baseball almost 100 miles per hour or sometimes at 100 miles per hour over a 60-foot distance. So that's why we have batters. If you ever played any kind of little league or high school softball or baseball, what does a batter wear when he gets up in the batter box? What do they wear? What do they put on their head? A helmet. Because they're throwing that ball, and if ball hits you, it can either seriously injure you or it can kill you if it hits you in the head. So even I've heard of even some people getting killed even with a helmet on, getting hit with a baseball in the head. So if you think that sling is actually an extension, so that has to be going much faster and have much more power to it. And that's what they showed here when they scientifically looked at it. Again, the Bible is right and the Bible is accurate, even scientifically. So anyway, let's go ahead and pray, and then we're going to get into King David, and we're going to start in 1 Samuel chapter 17. Father God, I just want to thank you for this morning. I just thank you that you are greater than anything, Lord. You are greater than our problems. You are greater than our enemies, and that you will never forsake us or leave us. And I just pray that your Holy Spirit would fill us this morning, that your word would go in our heart, and that we would just draw closer to you. In your name, amen. So we're going to start on 1 Samuel chapter 17. That's going to talk about David and Goliath. But what I want to do first is just kind of go over who David was. David was the youngest person in his family. He had seven brothers, and he was the youngest person. And in that culture, if you were the youngest guy, you were pretty much screwed. You pretty much, the system was against you, because the eldest male would get all the inheritance, and he would be in charge. And if you were like the very youngest, like David, he was the youngest. He had seven brothers, so he was the youngest. You basically got the crappy jobs. And that's what David got. He was a shepherd. He was put out basically to be a shepherd, to watch over sheep. And that was considered the lowest, most despised job. So it's kind of like having, the younger kid in your family, and he gets to clean the bathroom, the toilets and stuff, because he's the youngest. So he's going to get the crappy job. And that's exactly what happened. And a lot of the times, the younger would be kind of like have a rebel kind of character to him, because they knew the system was against him. Because the older brother, the oldest son was going to get everything. So what happened was Saul, he was king of Israel. He started off good. He ends up bad. What Saul ends up doing is he's supposed to go in. He's supposed to attack the enemies of Israel. He's supposed to just kill everything. He's not supposed to take any spoils. But he doesn't kill everybody. He takes some of the women. He takes some of the spoils. He disobeys God. And so God then removes his spirit from Saul. And from that point on, Saul basically starts going downhill, both mentally too. He starts having a lot of these weird, he says a demon possesses him and things like that. So he kind of gets these kind of weird mental issues after that. So what happened was, at that time, God told Samuel, the prophet, I want you to go to the house of Jesse, and there you're going to find the next king of Israel. So he goes to the house of Jesse, and Jesse brings up his sons, except for David. So he has his seven sons there. They're all studs. They're all tall, dark, and handsome. They're athletic. I mean, all seven of these guys, that's got to be the king of Israel. No, he's got to be the king of Israel. And it's kind of interesting. Why would Jesse not bring David into that? Maybe because he was youngest, or maybe because his father didn't really see anything kingly about David. We don't really know, but David was not part of that initial, as Samuel was looking at the brothers. And we're going to start, and I think I have it there in the media shout. We're actually going to go back to 1 Samuel chapter 16, and we're going to look at verses 6 through 13. because this is when Samuel now is going to choose the next king of Israel. And it says in verse 6, when they entered, he looked at Eliab, I guess, and thought, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For God sees not as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7 is a verse that you guys need to memorize. I'm going to read it again. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. So make sure you memorize that. That's a great verse. And we're going to go a little bit more into that later as we get more detail about King David. Starting in verse 8, then Jesse called Abinadab, I guess, and made him pass before Samuel, and he said, the Lord has not chosen this one either. And next Jesse made Shammah pass by, and he said, the Lord has not chosen this one. Thus Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel, but Samuel said to Jesse, the Lord has not chosen these. And Samuel said to Jesse, are these all your children? I think he was kind of like a rhetorical question there, because I think Samuel knew that he had another son. And he said, there remains yet the youngest, and behold, he is tending sheep. Then Samuel said to Jesse, send him and bring him, for we will not sit down until he comes. So he sent and brought him in, and now he was ruddy with beautiful eyes and a handsome appearance. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. So again, God looks on the inside, the world looks on the outside. And can you imagine what his brothers thought? My bratty little brother, he's going to be the king of Israel? They probably felt, they were probably shocked and appalled. And they despised David a lot too, as we'll learn a little bit later here. So they were probably just shocked that David was anointed the next king of Israel. Now let's look at Goliath. We know that he came from Gath, because that is in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 4. I probably don't have that one because it's a short verse, but it says, then a champion came out from the armies of the Philistines named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. So what we know from how they measure things back there, Goliath was 9 feet 9 inches tall. I'm 6'2", so you can put another, 3 feet 8 inches? So he was 9 feet, 9 inches tall. His armor weighed 125 pounds. So the armor that he had on was 125 pounds. And the spearhead of his spear weighed 15 pounds. Guys ever held like weights, lifting weights or whatever, 15 pounds? That's just the spearhead, not this whole spear, just the spearhead. I mean, this guy was dressed as a warrior because he was a warrior. He was a champion, which probably meant that he did this a lot. There was a custom back then that if two armies got together and they lined up, sometimes what they would do is they would bring out their best warrior, and whoever won that one-on-one fight, then that would be who won the battle, which army won. So he was one of the fiercest, most experienced, battle-tested men at that time. And it would be kind of like, as we saw in the video, it'd be kind of like somebody, one of us, or even me or you, or whatever, going up against like the heavyweight champ, you know, boxing champ. You know, I have no boxing experience, you know, and you know, 240-pound muscle guy who's got all this experience and he's a heavyweight champ, or if you guys are into the UFC, it'd be like trying to take on Brock Lesnar. I mean, you know, some big Brock Lesnar is like 300 pounds of muscle, you know, for the heavyweight division in UFC, and it'd be like a bantamweight guy taking on Brock Lesnar. So that's what it was when David was taking on Goliath. And like I said, they would do this one-on-one. Sometimes they would have their best warrior come out and they would fight. If you guys ever saw the movie Troy, there's a scene in that movie where Brad Pitt comes out and he fights the big guy from the army and he beats him, and that means he basically, they won the battle. So there, it was something that actually, that was a custom that could happen back then. So what happened is, and I'm going to kind of paraphrase most of chapter 17 because it's 58 verses, is Jesse tells David, hey, get someone else to tend the sheep. I want you to take some supplies to the battle, and I want you to talk to your brothers, because David had three brothers who were in the battle. And so what was happening is Goliath was coming out twice a day, two times a day he was coming out, and he would taunt Israel and he would insult God. And he did it for 40 days, twice a day for 40 days. Can you imagine that? 40 days, this guy's coming out. And I'm sure he would get like a little closer to the Israel line, and he'd get a little closer and he would taunt them because he knew that they were afraid, because no one from the army of Israel would come out and fight Goliath. So they're probably, you know, in kind of like a little valley, and they're each side they're on a hill, and they're like hitting their, you know, their shields, and they're kind of making all this noise, but nobody's doing anything. So that it's 40 days that they did that. I think Israel didn't really want to fight, and the Philistines were reluctant to fight because the Philistines were known for making iron and bronze, and they also had chariots. But chariots only really work well if you're on a level ground. If there's a hill or the terrain's got a lot of rocks or whatever, you know, a chariot's not going to work very well because it's not an all-terrain vehicle. You know, so they were hindered also by their armor. And it even says in 2 Samuel, talks about some of the battles where with the Philistines where they weren't able to use their chariots and stuff because of the terrain was dangerous. It was hard to fight in that terrain because there was a lot of rocks. You had this heavy armor on. You didn't have the agility. So that was maybe a reason why the Philistines said, we're going to send our champion out, Goliath, and you can send your best warrior, and whoever wins the battle. So we know that David didn't go on his own initiative. His father told him to go out. So his father tells him, hey, take these supplies, talk to your brothers, and then come back. And I think what Jesse wanted to know is, hey, you know, how's my sons doing? You know, they're in battle. You know, is everything okay? He wants to get word from them. So he tells David, go out there, get news, come back, and let me know how your brothers are doing. So David now, he's delivering the supplies, and he's talking to the men, and Goliath comes out for the 81st time. So he's come out two times a day for 40 days. Now it's day 41, and he's coming out. It's the 81st time, and he's getting really a lot closer to the Israel line, and he's directing his insults again. And we're going to look at 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 26, that says, then David spoke to the men who were standing by him, saying, what will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? And I like David. This is great. He says, for who is this uncircumcised Philistine but that he should taunt the armies of the living God? Remember, he's like 14, 15 years old. And he's out there. Who is this guy? Who does he think he is to taunt the armies of the living God and taunt Israel? So David's like, okay, I'm going to go out and fight him. Because you guys won't, I'm going to do it. But he had to plead with Saul. Saul was king of Israel. And Saul finally said, okay, you can go out and fight. You can fight Goliath. And I think it shows one thing, that David was definitely a man of courage, or he was a young man of courage, to go out there and fight a guy that's 9 feet, 6 inches tall, who was very experienced, especially on one-on-one type of battle or hand-to-hand combat. Was David afraid? Possibly. But, you know, they say courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is doing what is right in spite of your fear. And I think David may have been. Of course, I think he probably would have been a little bit afraid. But he was the only one in Israel that had the courage to go out and fight Goliath, and not only fight Goliath, but to stand up to this guy who was blaspheming God and insulting Israel. And I think we can see David gets his courage because he had a deep understanding of God. He knew who God was, and he had a very close relationship with God. In fact, David in the Bible is called a man after God's own heart. And you know what? A person cannot be a man after God's own heart unless he knows the heart of God. And David knew God. In fact, if you want to know how close a relationship David had with God and how well he understood God, just read the Psalms. David wrote most of the Psalms, and you read the Psalms. He was a musician, and those Psalms are actually music. It's actually songs. And so he wrote most of the Psalms, and you can see he had that close relationship with God. And David was a shepherd. Now, being a shepherd, you had to protect your flock. And it says in chapter 17 that David fought lions and bears. That's why we had it in our Pictionary, because it's part of the story. not just a lion and bear. He actually fought lions and bears. He didn't have a gun. He didn't have a crossbow. He fought lions and bears with his staff and his sling, and he killed them. So he had that courage, and he knew God. So he had the courage to go and to do those kind of things and be able to go. I mean, think about it. What do you think is more intimidating, a bear or Goliath? Or a lion and Goliath? If you had to fight, would you rather fight, at least take a chance fighting Goliath? Or would you rather take a chance fighting a big bear? We went up to Alaska last year. I got pretty close to some big brown bears, and they're huge, and I've never been that close to bear. I mean, they are like 1,500-pound bear, and, you know, eating salmon out of the river. I didn't even want to get more than 100 yards close to them, and they were still big. And when they started coming up the bank, because we were fishing for salmon, when they started coming up towards you, you went up in the road, and you just said, hey, buddy, just go on by. We'll let you go and take your time, you know, because we weren't going to mess with them. So David actually fought and killed bears, and he killed lions. But again, David had that courage because he understood God. And it kind of reminds me of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That's during the Babylon captivity. They were Jewish young men that were Nebuchadnezzar brought into his court. And Nebuchadnezzar said, hey, I'm going to build this statue. And he built this 90-foot gold statue. And he said, you know, if you don't bow down to it, when the music starts, I'm going to throw you in the fiery furnace. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stood before the king Nebuchadnezzar and said, we are not going to bow to your statue. They said, God is going to deliver us no matter what. So they said, they knew that whether God was either going to deliver them from the furnace, which he did, or even if he didn't, they were still going to be delivered from King Nebuchadnezzar. And that's what David knew. He had that understanding of God. So what they did is David said, okay, I'm going to go fight Goliath. They tried to put armor on David, and David's like, no, I don't like this. It doesn't work. He's not used to having armor. He's used to fighting lions and bears with just a sling and a stick. So he says, I'm just going to go out there with what I have. And he's going to go out there and use the skills and gifts that God has given him, and that was with the sling. So God has given him a gift, and he's going to use that gift to take out Goliath. So let's go ahead and get to the cool part of the story here when David fights Goliath. And this is 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 40 through 45. It says, he took his stick in his hand and chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook, and he put them in the shepherd's bag, which he had, even in his pouch. And his sling was in his hand, and he approached the Philistine. Then the Philistines came on and approached David with the shield bearer in front of him. When the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, some despising him. It says, for he was but a youth. So he was being despised for his youth. But it says that he was but a youth and ruddy with a handsome appearance. So David was a pretty good-looking guy, too. The Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come after me with sticks? So basically, it wasn't any different than nowadays. My mom, when she goes walking, she takes a stick with her. And it's not only for a walking stick, but if some dogs or whatever come up to her, she can, you know, shoo them away or defend herself. And that's kind of what Goliath is saying. Am I like one of these dogs that you're going to, you know, basically shoo me away with your walking stick? And it says, and the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And in verse 44, the Philistine also said to David, come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the sky and the beasts of the field. Then David said to the Philistine, now verse 45 is a key verse here. David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and a spear and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have taunted. This day the Lord will deliver you up into my hands, and I will strike you down and remove your head from you. And I will give the dead bodies of the armies of the Philistines this day to the birds of the sky and the wild beasts of the earth, and that all the earth may know there is a God in Israel. So verse 45 and 46, that's like the key verse right here in this section, that the earth will know that there is a God in Israel. Verse 47, and that all this assembly may know the Lord does not deliver by sword or by spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into my hands. Then it happened when the Philistine rose and came and drew near to David, that David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand into his bag and took from it a stone and slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. And the stone sank into his forehead. so that he fell on his face to the ground. Thus David prevailed over the Philistines with a sling and a stone, and he struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in David's hand. Then David ran and stood over the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of its sheath and killed him and cut off his head with it. When the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. The men of Israel and Judah rose, shouted, and pursued the Philistines as far as the valley and to the gates of Ekron. And he even continues there and will say that the bodies were strewn as they were retreating. So Israel came in and they were just killing everybody as they were retreating. So let's look at Goliath here again. Don't you think Goliath had everything going for him, right? He had every advantage possible. He was a battle-tested warrior. He was trained on, you know, especially one-on-one combat. He was huge. He was big. He was experienced. And he was completely fearless. He had no fear of the Israelites at all. He was totally confident, but you could almost say that he was probably a little bit overconfident. And then you have David. He had no armor, no battle experience, no equipment, no training, nothing. But he had one thing that Goliath did not, because David had confidence, and he had confidence in his God, not in his own strength. When David looked at Goliath square in the eye, he knew that God was with him in this battle. And we know what Paul says in Romans 8:31. I don't have that up. And me to shout. But Paul tells us, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? So let me ask you a question. If God is for us, what's the obvious answer? Anybody here on earth can be against us if God is for us? No. And think about this. This is the same God. We look at, is God really for us? This is the same God who sent his one and only son to die on a cruel Roman cross for us. The Bible says that this is love, that God loves us with an unconditional love, that while we were yet sinners, Jesus died for us. How much more can God show that he is for us? And that's what David knew. He didn't know Jesus, but he knew his God. And this is really cool, because God then displays his glory, like we've been talking about with the heroes of the Bible, through individuals that the world looks down upon, that the world despises. God is into small things, but he does big things so that through people that the world looks down to, so that he is glorified. And Paul tells us that it is through his weakness that he is most powerful. And that's where God seems to use most of his power. When we are weak, then God makes us strong, and we can be strong. So again, while the world may despise the small in stature or in might, God is into the small. He's into what the world looks down to. And because God will resist the proud and the mighty, and he gives grace to those who are humble. And we talked about what humility is. Humility is not saying to yourself, I'm the suckiest suck that ever sucked at sucking, and you just look down all the time, and you wear sandals, and you don't bathe, and you know, you're like, you know, I can't do anything right. That's not being humble. Being humble is knowing who you really are, warts and all. And being able to be comfortable with that, and then letting God work in you to work on those things that he needs to work on. But then you're able to serve other people if you have that attitude, because then you realize people, we're all the same. We all struggle with the same things, maybe at different levels of those same things, but we all struggle. Then God can use you, because if you're arrogant and proud, have a lot of pride, how are you going to serve people? Are you going to have love towards other people? Or as Paul says, that you are to have the attitude of Jesus of putting others first, or thinking of others as better than yourselves. If you're arrogant and prideful, you're only looking out for yourself. And that's why God can use those that the world looks at and despises and thinks that they're foolish, or maybe they don't have the stature like David's brothers, had the nice stature, but their heart wasn't right. And we see that with David's brothers, because they despise David at the battle. So how can those guys be king of Israel when they were despising David even at the battle? It kind of shows where their heart was. So in the end, it's not so much that David was great, I mean, he was a good king of Israel. He did a lot of bad things that we're going to see. He had a lot of character flaws. But it was the God that David served who was great. And the thing is Saul focused on the Philistine army rather than the size of God. Because Saul did not know God the way that David did. And sometimes it seems like God gives us enemies or problems that are much greater than we are. But when we fight in our weakness, trusting in God and not ourselves, then what happens when we overcome those enemies? God gets all the glory. We don't give ourselves any glory. And it's interesting is David is kind of like a almost like foreshadowing of Jesus. You can kind of think of like Goliath as being Satan and David, you know, being Jesus in a way. Because the Israelites in their army were powerless to defeat Goliath. They didn't want to do it. They were scared. So they were powerless to defeat him. They did not want to defeat him. They were scared. But just as David fought Goliath for Saul and the Israelites, Satan had a death grip on us as sinners. And there was nothing we could do to save ourselves. Then Jesus took Satan on one-on-one, and he won. David did it by killing Goliath, but Jesus did it by voluntarily dying for you. That's weird, isn't it? You think, how did he have victory over Satan, but Jesus died? Usually the winner is the one that's still living. The person that lost is usually dead. But Jesus won it because he died for us. And that way now, sin and death have no hold on us. We have no fear of that anymore because Jesus has victory over that. And we have assurance and forgiveness of our sins that we can now, if we put our trust in Jesus and what he's done for us, we now have this assurance that we will have eternal life and be with him for eternity. In fact, John, the Apostle John, in 1 John 5:13 wrote, "These things I have written to you so that you may believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life." So our champion was Jesus. He went out and he had victory over Satan by serving us to death on a cross. Now we look at David. Like I said, he was about 14 or 15 years old at this time. And he went and took on Goliath. And David is going to be a good king overall of Israel. He's not a good father. He commits murder and adultery. But one thing that David had over all the other kings of Israel is, and the reason that David can be called a man after God's own heart, is he never went after false idols. David always followed God. And if you'd like I said, if you read the Psalms, you can really see David's relationship with God. You can see why David can be called a man after God's own heart. So that's kind of an overview of David and Goliath. Looks like we have about 15 minutes. If you guys want to get some more donuts, kind of socialize, if you have any questions about the study or David, we're going to get a little bit more detail into King David here from this point from next Sunday. And we'll probably spend a couple Sundays on him. And then I'm not sure where we're going next. I just kind of go where God leads. So let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, just again, thank you for this morning. I thank you for your word. I just think that you are such a great God that there is nothing that we can overcome when we are weak because you are strong. And Father, as the students here, they're youths, they're young, but Lord, they can be so strong in you. And I know the world might look at them and say, oh, it's those teenagers and despise them, but Lord, if they're following you, Lord, you can do just great things through them. And I lift this up in your name. Amen.